Greetings, Earthlings, and welcome to this special Red News podcast. I'm its editor, Barney. I'm sure we could have some majestic music to start this all off with, but as I can't play my own trumpet, words will have to do. I'll keep it short. I don't like the sound of my own voice, so I won't pity it on you too much. Suffice to say, we wanted to record just some of the occasion from Alex Ferguson's last day in charge at West Brom. What a day. Mental. It's still taking time to sink in that this has all actually happened. This next phase is both exciting and scary. But for now, we can say thanks to Fergie, as even after all he's achieved, it starts sinking in exactly what he's achieved. Now he's gone, we may even appreciate him and his achievements even more. So we start off by speaking to Red News contributor Welsh Phil, who didn't miss a single game under Fergie's reign, all 1,500 of them. Two more than the man himself. Incredible. So here it is. Apologies for the odd interruption. We had Statler and Waldorf in the background interrupting us in the pub before the game, asking every 2 minutes when the pub lunch would be served. If only we'd bloody known. What day? Here's some of it.
So, it's Sunday 19th of May, and it's Alex Ferguson's last game. I'm now with Red News contributor Welsh Phil, who's a legend in his own bathtub. We first met pre-season of...
88
in Scandinavia, when Phil had these massive headphones on, listening to music on the train as we headed to Oslo. To see United. And this man is a legend because he hasn't missed a United competitive game since
85.
He never gives it the big 'em, but most loyal Reds or Reds who go away will see him, know him. He never mentions it, he plays it down, but because this is a special day with Fergie's last game, he said he'll give an interview and he'll speak about it. So I'm going to ask him some questions about all these games where he's actually seen more than Fergie, because Fergie's missed them for a couple. How many has he missed?
He's missed two, I think.
Two.
Middlesbrough 98-99, I think he missed, which was the last game my long-suffering partner Joy went to. We got beat 3-2, and I said, that's the last game you're going to. And we never lost again for about 9 months, so that was the end for a...
And City as well, the other
City, I think City away.
When Beckham,
2001, when Beckham scored, I think McLaren was in charge.
Got all the coins, lobbed at him as well.
That was it, yeah.
The background music, maybe a few Reds downstairs in Lloyd's already starting to sing. It's about 12 o'clock. So how have you done it, Phil? Seriously.
Well, when you start these things, when you start watching United, you never set out to do anything in particular. You just watch the team. I'm fortunate enough that... my health has allowed it, my job has allowed it, and by hook or by crook financially, I'm still managing to do it. You never set out to go to every game. You just, when you go, it becomes an obsession. It's a way of life. Every year you look at the fixtures and, you know, you hope everything fits in with the things you're going to do. Don't get me wrong, you miss weddings, you miss birthdays, you miss all sorts, but when you get to a stage where you go to every game, you don't want to miss one. Not because you don't want to miss one, because you just want to carry on going.
But so when does it become a run? Because I only did 3 years, 87 to 90. But you realise, like, at a set stage, well, you want to run, you just can't miss. For me, it was like, I think, Crystal Palace in the League Cup. Right, I've got to get to that. But I actually felt a little bit of relief when I did finally miss one, because it's like, yeah, there's a burden lifted.
I know a lot of lads who've had hell of a run watching United, and when they've missed one for whatever reason, you know, whether it be a big holiday or something's happened in their life, they've told me it's a sense of relief that you haven't got that burden of saying you've got to go to every game. And I suppose I'm not in that position at the moment, because I'm still going. When it becomes a run, I don't know. A lot more people talk about it than I did. I just carry on going, yeah, enjoy myself and carry on. You know, a lot of people talk about it as if, you know, how many years since you missed a game? I don't, as you know, I don't broadcast, yeah, it, and I don't really,
but
go on about
incredible.
It.
You do realise. I mean, well, without blowing around the trumpet.
Yeah, I've never done it. I carry on going. You know, I go with the same lads I go with. I've been going with for years and years and years. We still have the same crack. Admittedly, things have changed in football.
I think that helps, doesn't it? If you didn't have, say, the
yeah,
circle
we've still
of people.
Got we've still got a good circle of people. You know, whether it's local to me or whether it's local people from all around the country, are still know and still go to every game. But yeah, maybe without them and the social thing, maybe I wouldn't still be going.
And a long-suffering partner.
And a long-suffering partner, I've got to say that, you know, big thanks to Joy, because she puts up with me not only leaving the house early in the morning every weekend and coming back late, often maybe under the influence of alcohol.
But this is the other aspect, isn't it? I mean, you enjoy the day, so
yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
Okay, one sec. We're just about to be interrupted by someone, and I'll try and work out how to pause it. You make it a day, don't you? Which is the right way to do it.
Yeah, I think things have changed as you get older. You know, I've got a child, so a lot of my social life is around football. It's a day out, whether it be the home game or an away game, it's still a day out, and it's part of my social activity, if you like. And I think without that, you know, football's changed a lot, where it's that expensive to go to watch a game, that if you don't involve something else with it, you'd, I don't know, I'm not sure you could justify doing it.
Yeah, it becomes diluted. So how do you feel? I mean, that's the incredible nature, and it, you know, that. But how do you feel about today then?
Well, it's an end of an era. We all knew it was coming. We all knew it was coming. You know, I think it was a bit of a shock when it... You know, we all knew it was coming. We didn't think it was going to happen now, maybe another year's time. You know, rumours had been abound that maybe David Moyes would come in for a year as an understudy. I never really saw that happening. And then, Fergie would slip into the background. He announced it, and to be fair, we've won the league. He's finished at the top. He's left us in a position of strength. The club's in great nick. You know, the Glazers is another story, but we won't go into that now. But the club's in good nick. The team's in good nick. The squad's in good nick. The manager we've brought in now, I think he's going to be... I think he'll carry on in the same vein. Today is an end of an era, and whatever you say, we've had 26 and a half years of... unparalleled success. Take the first 3.5 years out of it, but 26 and a half years of... something, you know, most of my life has been known watching United under Ferguson.
And I mean, how does it feel personally? So, I mean, it must connect that to do every game. I mean, is there another United fan you reckon?
I've never looked for one.
I miss games now, you know, through choice and through I can't get to every game. You call me a part-time bastard, but we were lucky enough to be at Oxford. We wonder how many, and not a big guy am, but just how many day were there.
We probably had 3,000 or 4,000 at Oxford in them days, and probably I would say 400 or 500 would have been in that game. That'll be at today's game. A lot probably at today's game without a ticket, who would have been at Oxford, who would love to go into the game, but due to the allocation, unfortunately, they won't be able to get in. And, you know, I do feel sorry for them. Well, maybe have followed us all those years.
This is the madness of the ticket things, where we know, you know, people who've travelled all over the world who haven't got today, and, you know, not that anyone deserves one over another person, but you hope that when we get into the United end later, that there won't be people who are less deserving, but we all know where that goes. But on a personal level, it must feel quite emotional, you know, like it does for all of us.
It does. I mean, he is like a father figure. You know, we see Fergie every week at his press conference. We hang on his every word. He is the father of the club, and he's a club that we love. We follow every week. It's our way of life. Manchester United is our way of life. And Fergie, for 27 years, we've hung on his every word. Whatever decisions he's made, they've always been for the good of the club. We don't always realise what's going on in the background. You know, he's built the club up from the youth, from the tea lady to the top. He knows everybody. Whether that will carry on...
Because it's the day, isn't it? It's the crack. You get to the pub at 11 o'clock before the game. You have a right old do afterwards via all manner of places.
So we enjoy ourselves, basically.
Pick out some highlights now, then.
I mean, as you know, there's been a lot of games over the years. A lot of the main sort of memories surround obviously winning things and maybe European travel. I mean, the main memories of Ferguson's era will go down as 93 winning the league, because in my lifetime I never thought we'd win it. After 92, the loss, you know, the despair at Liverpool in 92, I never ever thought we'd win it again. To win it in 93 was like an albatross off everyone's back. I thought it was absolutely... I think that was... It's probably... Looking back at it now, emotionally, Crystal Palace away is one of the most emotional nights I've ever had watching United, because it was a realisation that year that we were going to win the league, and I can't imagine ever feeling like that ever again about watching United. 99 was something that I never thought I'd see, that we'd win the European Cup, and in injury time when we were 1-0 down, I still thought that, you know, it's going to be, we're as far away now as we've ever been, and then to win it in injury time was like a dream. 10 days of absolute glory, which football in England, I don't think they'll ever see anything like that ever again. The way the game's gone, I don't think I find it very difficult that somebody will win the treble again. And,
no,
you know,
but also take those numbers, because we had, I mean, you know, Celtic always give it the blah blah about Seville, but I always think we know United fans.
Yeah.
We took,
I mean,
that
ground, there was minimum 50,000 to 60,000 United fans in the ground.
And how many outside?
How many outside? You can't believe, unless you were there, how many people actually were there.
And this
Barcelona.
Is all over, isn't it? Because we stayed in New York.
Yeah.
And there
were
people in thousands.
Salou, there were people in Lorette, there were people everywhere. And nobody's ever pulled up the numbers United had there. Nobody ever goes on websites saying we had 100,000 like Celtic did in Seville and all that. We just get on with it.
Yeah.
A bit like United, we never get any credit in the papers. Geordies take 1,500 to Arsenal and they think they're wonderful on a Wednesday night.
So why are you understating then about what you've done? I know it's a good thing, but you could really give it the big arm. You could be you could have been in the papers this week.
Yeah, right.
And it's only through me buying you a pint later that's persuaded you to do this. But yeah, I mean, it's, I know you...
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's a way of life. I've always done it. And people who know me, you know, closely, like yourself, and there's a good few others who know that I don't miss a game, you know, I have no reason to go out broadcasting it because I just want to be there.
Yeah.
You know, I'm happy to be there. And to be, you know, a lot of the time, the lads that we go with, all the lads I know, you know, we're all a big group, we're like a family, and we all know each other. There's no airs and graces. If somebody misses a game, nobody's thought of any differently, because each person's circumstances are different.
Yeah.
And, you know, for whatever reason, not everybody can do everything. I've been lucky.
Yeah.
You know, all right, yeah, people call it dedicated or whatever, and yeah, of course I am.
But you help, so many out. I mean, that's a crucial thing.
Yeah, but that's because I know what I felt like when I was younger, when I didn't have maybe the access to tickets and travel and everything else like I have now. That I used to be dependent on other people, and I realise how much people help you, and basically what I do now is maybe payback for people helping me when I was younger. And you know, you get satisfaction out of helping people and getting people into a game where they wouldn't ordinarily be able to.
It's incredible. I mean, there's a lot of people who are like that, but equally there's a lot who aren't. So you think, you know, you should deserve the plaudits for it. I just think, I mean, to get back to Fergie, we'd got a heads up in from the mag, the Gossip Lad, in November, and it was a good source. But I still didn't want to believe it. You know, I still just thought. And then when it came, and the Tuesday when we got the info that something's up, and United suddenly, you know, even for Red News, they'll reply to text, nothing. I felt mourning.
I heard it the night before, and I was texting everybody, including yourself, thinking, is it true? You know, is it true? And it's like, I mean, mourning is the word. I mean, I know he's not dead, and thankfully he's not dead, because we don't want him to be, because he's still a figurehead. He's still going to be involved with United. But it's like, you could see the end of the era, and you just thought, and everybody knows that regardless of what Moyes does or regardless of what happens in the future, things will never be as good in the next 20 years.
Yeah.
Can't possibly be as good as they are now. And, you know, we used to follow United before, you know, under Sexton, Doherty, you know, Atkinson, and varying degrees of success. And we all enjoyed them days because we were United fanatics, and we watched the club. And no one man is bigger than the club, but Ferguson's made the club what it is today.
Yeah.
You know,
I've two things from that, though, and I've said it on the website, and that I just thought there was never going to be a right time. So actually, I've not moved on quickly. I mean, this today, we're all going to be hankies out later.
Yeah.
But I think there was never going to be the perfect time. So it was only going to be the wrong time. So this is, it's felt right.
I've got to agree with you. I mean, when it happened, I was shocked, stunned, and everybody, you know. But, you know, time moves on, people move on. Nothing lasts forever, and I think you realise that. And I know, you know, it'll never be the same again, and we've got to remember what he's done, and we'll never forget it because he's built what we've got today. But I think you're right, he's gone out of the top, he's left the club in good shape, he's left the team in good shape, and he's brought in and he's recommended a man who we tried to get 13, 14 years ago, who I think can carry on in the same vein, off the old block.
And what's encouraged me from the Arsenal game, where I was, you know, a hypocrite because I slag off the ticket prices, I ended up typically, I will go because I can't miss it, and I went in. And to see the young kids bouncing with the homemade flags and that, and then, you know, for the last game, where we have a self-fulfilling prophecy, or it's ruined.
Yeah.
But there is hope that there are a lot of young Reds coming through still throughout all the shit that they get.
Yeah.
And you must be seeing that.
Yeah, there is. I mean, it's difficult now for young lads now, whether they've got jobs or not, whether they're 17, 18. It's so expensive to go to football matches now. Not when I started going up home and away at 15, 16, you could get in for £1.50. You could get in almost for your pocket money. People can't get in. They can't do that now. They can't travel on trains the same as we could in the years gone by. They haven't got the access to tickets we could pay at the gate. They can't do that. And it's good that, you know, there is an element of United support that's coming through that, all right, we could do without some of the shenanigans that go on at away games, but without some sort of, if you like, youth policy with the support, our support eventually will die away, and it'll dilute. We need enthusiasm. We need people behind us. We're still a supporter.
We need another age. You, don't we?
How
long's your run going to carry?
I don't know. I mean, you know, you carry on. You just carry on. You don't know what happens in life. I mean, I've always said that. And you know, there's been a number of occasions over the years where I thought, oh my God, you know, I'm going to miss a game because of this, that, and the other. And
well, what's the most? I always take the mick.
Yeah.
The snow. What? Could tell that. Story.
That was the last away game in Britain. I missed Newcastle. Newcastle away, 85. 3 foot of snow, couldn't dig the car out, couldn't get a bus, a taxi or anything to get the coach, which was getting up to Newcastle. And I must admit, I was distraught, and that's the last away league game.
As only mates can, by taking the piss, we always...
In
the snow.
I was up like 2 hours early trying to dig the snow out, and you look back at it now and you can laugh.
What's the hardest that you've managed to get to, where you thought
probably
it might happen?
Probably Rio. Rio, there was 3 reasons where Rio for the World Club Championship. One was money, which I ended up loaning. 2 was time off work, because I had a big project starting that week. 3 was my long-suffering other half, Joy, who basically said, I won't be there when you come back if you go to Rio.
You lucky.
Yeah, well, I borrowed the money. My late father said to me, you know about work, don't you? You know they'll still be there when you come back.
That's a good,
so do what you think you should do. He said, what you can do with Joy is your problem. So, when I come back, she wasn't there, but she came back in a couple of days.
She couldn't resist.
I got her a couple of nice presents.
Charm.
A couple of presents later, she was... She still reminds me of it 13 years on. I haven't forgiven you for Brazil, you know that. She's never looked at the photos either. But, you know, I'm glad I went, because it was probably the best trip I've ever been on.
And the one I'll always regret. Yeah. Right, so here's a few quick questions to end then. So what's the best moment, bar the obvious? Choose where you thought, this feels brilliant, this.
93, I think. 93 winning the championship, because I thought in my lifetime, you know, I've been a United fan since I was able to talk, walk or whatever. I never thought it would happen. You know, Liverpool dominating during my school life and teens and whatever else. 26 years of my life was spent watching them win championships, and then for us to win it, I think that, realistically, I know there's been high after high under Fergie since. I just think that is the most unbelievable experience, I think.
And worst moment?
I think worst moment, possibly Liverpool, 92. Sitting in the main stand of Liverpool, having them abusing us the whole match, losing the league, and then thinking maybe we're never going to win it, and thinking, where do we go from here? I think you can't get much lower than that.
No.
There's others, you know, West Ham, twice, 92 and 95. City 5-1 under Fergie, thinking that Fergie was bringing a good team in, and get beat 5-1 by them Muppets. I just think, you know, that was low.
Scariest moment?
One of the scariest moments. Turkey was dodgy, Galatasaray first time, but I think anyone who went to Croatia Zagreb in, I think it was 99.
Yeah.
I think the element of danger during the time we were there, I don't think I've ever seen, you know, all right, you can go to Leeds, I've had some dodgy experiences at Leeds, Liverpool, Everton, West Ham, Chelsea, you name them all, but I think one of the most sort of one of the most dangerous places I think possibly been is Zagreb. I mean, I know you were there.
Well, they had soldiers on every corner.
Yeah, I've never...
There was a bar of Reds attacks, and the funny thing is, me and Steve the Greek, I was a knobhead back then. I'd always get my rough guides out and check for the student bars. And we went wandering, and I couldn't find this bar listed in the thing. So I said, well, there's one down here. We go in, and it's full of all these massive fuckers, and they're all staring.
Yeah.
And we go to the bar, and the barmaid says, these two are from him. And this, I mean, the biggest, it turns out we find out this is their bar.
Yeah.
And they've obviously thought either these are the two stupidest dickhead fans, yeah, yeah. or they're as brave as brass and they come in. But I said to Steve, we thank them a lot and then we leave quickly. But it was great as well. I mean, that nightclub.
Don't get me wrong, Zagreb was one of the best places I've ever been. Beautiful place, beautiful women. The nightclub we went the night before the game and the night after the game was probably one of the best I've ever been. You know, Miss Croatia contest was on there.
Yeah.
But the underlying threat of violence from the locals,
it was
still
mad.
Coming out of the war.
Yeah.
And we had some Croatians with us as well who looked after us, thankfully. There was serious danger. And I think that's probably one of the scariest moments. We've had, don't get me wrong, we've had a few ropey moments in Russia and, you know, Turkey and, you know, Feyenoord and, you know,
yeah,
the name of
those guys.
There's so many, but I think that stands out to me in my mind. I don't know why.
So say you could, well, we're actually by the hotel where the players are, and well-known Red Webby had a word and thanked him. I know a few Reds have thanked him last night. They didn't get the ticket signed. Imagine that on eBay.
Yeah, yeah.
If you could speak to him now, not that you would, you know, but what would you say?
I would say, well, I've been privileged to watch every game that you've managed, and I'd like to say thank you for the roller coaster ride. I think the roller coaster started at Forest in 1990, to be honest, and ever since then, it's been nothing but a roller coaster. We had 3.5 years of maybe to-ing and fro-ing, thinking what's going to happen, but after Forest away, January 1990, I just think it's been 20. Well, there you go. 23 plus years of roller coaster, mainly highs. Quite a few lows, but a lot of effort, a lot of drinking.
And we're still here. We went to the doctors.
And we're still here.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Phil, and I'll hopefully catch up with you after the game for a quick chat.
Super.
Cheers, Phil.
New Reddit you all this week!
With Sean shouting behind me, I'm joined by Terry Hall. I'm now outside the ground away from the pub, so how are you feeling about today?
I don't feel sad about it at all. I think, a few people said it's a sad day, it's the end of an year. Yeah, but it's like, start a new one, really.
Did you have that? I had a feeling of, I said earlier, mourning for the first 24 hours, and then I felt, this is right, this is...
It's definitely time. It's definitely time. There's been a certain amount of dissent the last two seasons that you've heard about midfields and stuff that you haven't heard for a few years. And maybe it's time to move on. I mean, how could he top what he's done already, anyway? It's like, he's done enough, hasn't he?
How do you feel personally, the journey, right, from where you were all those years to now? Can you believe it?
I was at his first game at Oxford, and without any expectations, really, because of, you know, previous 15, 20 years of watching them under Atkinson, and you just resigned to that, you know, you finish where you finish. It's not about that. It's not about trophies or anything. And then the transformation, what did it take, 4 or 5 years really to get it underway, and it's been amazing.
What's your highlight? One.
Barcelona against Bayern Munich. That's definitely the highlight.
Fergie moment. When did you love him more than seems possible? Because he's a complex character, isn't he? But we do still.
I thought when we over to Liverpool. I mean, that was like, you know, a little plan, and it was nice to see that come through.
How do you explain that?
Unbelievable. In all the years of watching United, it was a performance and a result that, well, I've never seen, and apparently we've not seen for 120 years.
You already know your stats, don't you?
Well, no, somebody's told me already since apparently 1895. Even I wasn't born then.
I'd have that as one of the best atmospheres I've ever seen in the
UK. I think away, I think basically everybody was just there for the party and wanted to get behind the team, behind Fergie. And when Fergie came over at the end, it was just unbelievable, like the gloss on the, well, the icing on the cake, if you like. Well, and the Moy song, I think the Moy song has really
good,
got things.
Yeah.
I think the Moy song's got things really going.
Yeah, and not to be a party pooper, but I thought that because no one got on the pitch, to see Fergie to come over and say thanks, I thought that was special.
I think that was right, and I think even the West Brom fans, you know. From what I could see, the West Brom fans were all clapping as well, and I think that was just...
Yeah, but they were aeroplane stuff in the first half.
I wasn't really paying attention to that, I'd rather ignore that.
Yeah, but the United fans were just different guys.
Yeah, United fans were brilliant today, and I think Fergie will realise that, and he knows that, and I think he's always appreciated the fans, to be fair. So,
another 1,800, 1,500 games under Moyes, will it be, Phil?
Well, I'll tell you what. We start again, don't we? And we start again in August and we'll see what happens.
Tremendous. Cheers, Phil. Thank you.
It was, of course, also Paul Scholes' farewell. So here's a few extracts from the interview Red News did with him the first time he'd retired.
How do you look back now at it all? Are you getting time to reflect on it and everything? I mean, when they all came for you to grab your shirt, did you think of running away, or how did you choose who gets it for the, after the final? I mean, without sounding too brown-nosing, you know, you were clearly one of the great players in the world. Is that the way you saw yourself, or were you quite humble, you know, if that makes sense? For actual goals, or but what do you think? What were you? Where your happiest game? Do you think?
Happiest game? It's always nice when you just put at the end of the season. You play well when you need to win something. Most going to go on FA Cup final will always be special. It's Newcastle, one of the middle leg of the treble was a brilliant day for me. I managed to pass the ball for Teddy to score and score a goal as well after it. So. That's probably one of the most memorable times. It was strange. It's just, to me, you know, it only matters what I think, really. And to me, football playing life's all. It's, you know, Brian Kidd always said to us in 2018 that, you know, it'd be gone and flick your fingers and your career would be gone. And I thought it'd be mad. It's, you know, I was like, I'm going to play to Oakland at 35. And,
yeah.
You know, I'm like, I'm 36. And he was dead right. It's flashed by, but it's over with now. The playing days are gone. I have to make sure that whatever I do now, I can be as good as I can at doing that as well. But it's been my life since I left school. Hopefully, it'll be my life for the next good few years as well. It's been amazing. It's been to play with some of the greatest have won as many trophies as they have done as well.
So I hope you enjoyed that. Truly memorable last day of an unbelievable era. Thanks for all the memories, Fergie, Scalzi, even Michael Vian and his shorts. So, plug time, we've got an Alex Ferguson summer special coming out in June, which will be available in print, digital, Kindle, app. We come in all the forms for all the nerds, whichever way you want it. So no excuses if you want to give the mag a go. We appreciate all of you support Red News. Have a good summer. Cheers.